This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Single Mom Success, Episode 1. Heather Wells and the Single Mom Blog present Single Mom Success, the place for single moms to find support, inspiration, and the path to their own success. Hey everybody, welcome to the Single Mom Success Podcast, Episode 1. Woohoo! I am so excited that you guys are here and listening to this. I've actually never done a podcast before. This is the very first time that I've done one. And so it's a unique experience for me. I've done interviews and I've talked with other people, obviously, in person, but never a podcast. So this is it's going to be interesting. So hopefully I don't totally mess it up. So being that this is the very first podcast that I'm doing, I thought that I would introduce myself to you, let you know who I am, what I'm about, why I'm here, why I'm doing what I'm doing, and what gives me the right to talk on being a single mom. So a little bit about me. Like I said, my name is Heather Wells. I am a 37-year-old single parent of three amazing children. We live in beautiful, though weather temperamental, Colorado. I say that because right now it's kind of cold and trying to snow, but 2 days ago it was 65 degrees, so it's definitely crazy out here in Colorado, but we love it and it's home. My children are as follows. I have twin 14-year-old boys, which is something that I'm still coming to terms with. Having twin teenage boys is interesting. Also, both of my boys are special needs children, and I will get into that in a little bit. I also have a 7-year-old daughter. Her name is Brooklyn. My boys' names, by the way, are Connor and Gage, in case I forgot to mention that, which I think I did. Brooklyn is my 7-year-old daughter, and she is actually very advanced. She's kind of brilliant, which is scary in itself. So she's 7, but in her mind, she's more like 17. So that presents another set of challenges for us. And I actually have been a single parent for 14 years, and if you're doing the math, 14-year-old boys, and I've been a single parent for 14 years. So pretty much been doing it on my own from the get-go. And how I became a single parent is interesting. I've actually, I've done the single mom on several different areas of the spectrum, so I have several different, examples, for lack of a better term, of how I've different circumstances of being a single mom. So I met my boys' father when I was in my early 20s, and you know, I was out doing the, you know, 20-year-old thing, going to bars, hanging out with friends, shooting pool, drinking too much, you know, the things that you do when you are in your 20s. And I met him at the local bar that I go to, which should have been a red flag. You know, typically, I'm not a big drinker, although I used to be, I guess, when I was in my 20s. But even then, not really too bad. So just meeting somebody who was a big drinker, which he was probably not a good idea for me. But, you know, I was young and naive and stupid and, you know, did that whole, oh, I can change him. I can make him better. I can make him see the error of his ways. You know, all those things that you think that, but really are really probably not going to happen. I mean, let's be honest. You're not going to fix them. You're not going to make them better. You can try, but ultimately it's up to them to be the people that they're going to be. And that was a lesson that was a very hard one for me to learn. But I did learn it from him. So he and I met and, you know, we dated. And it was one of those things where, you know, I guess I say dated loosely because I in my mind thought we had more of a relationship than he actually thought we had. So that was one of those things of you thought you were in a relationship, but they didn't think they were in a relationship. That's where I was in that picture. So, one of those situations where we thought we were being careful, but apparently not careful enough. And I ended up pregnant with twins. And I actually found out I was pregnant. I took a pregnancy test at work. Not sure why I did that, because I could not focus on work for the remainder of the day. But found out I was pregnant at work. Went in with a really good friend of mine from work to the doctor for my very first appointment. And went in, had my ultrasound at the time to see how far along I was, because I honestly had no idea how far along I could have possibly been. And when they did the ultrasound, I remember it took a really, really long time, I thought. And it didn't make sense to me why it was taking so long. And the nurse doing the ultrasound, when she put the thing on my belly, she goes, "Oh," and I was like, what? And she turned the monitor away from me and wouldn't let me see. And I was like, what's going on? And it was, you know, I was starting to freak out. I thought maybe something was wrong with my baby. You know, cause you know, I didn't know who their father was. Maybe there was something wrong. thinking back now, I was like, man, this is really, really taking a really long time. And finally I was like, do I even get to see? And, so she turned the screen back and she put the little doodad on my stomach. I'm sure it probably has a technical term, but I don't know what it is. And she showed me, I was like, oh, look, there's a baby. And I got all teary and was so amazed. I'm like, look at the little baby. And then she moved it down lower to the lower part of my belly. And I was like, oh, I'm like, oh, so that's like, you know, camera A and camera B, right? Like, it's like one view and then the other. She said, no, that's baby A and baby B. And it took me a second to understand what she was talking about, because I like, my brain refused to process the possibility that I was having twins. I wasn't planning on having one, much less having two. And now here I was having two. So it was very, like, I was like, oh, so anyway, so I'm pretty sure the words that came out of my mouth were, oh, shit. And the lady laughed and she's like, I take it you weren't expecting to have twins. And I said, I wasn't expecting to have one, much less two. So now I'm like doubly surprised. So I came out after, you know, getting all the pictures taken and everything. She printed them out for me to take with me. And I handed it to my friend and she said, she's like, what's going on? She's like, oh, look at the babies. Isn't that great? And I said, yeah. Do you notice anything about that? And she's like, no, they, you know, it's a baby. The baby looks good. I said, yeah, up here it says baby A and down here it says baby B. And she goes, oh, shit. So, I said, yeah, that's what I said, pretty much. So here I was getting ready to have twins. And I met with their dad, you know, after he had found, you know, was told that I was pregnant and then found out I was having twins. And we sat down and we had dinner and he said, well, I guess, you know, we should go get married. And I said, what? He's like, yeah, you know, I'll do the right thing. You know, you're having babies. I'll do the right thing. I'll be a stand-up guy. I'll marry you. And I just remember kind of thinking to myself, wow, that's really romantic. And all the times I had ever thought when I was younger of somebody proposing to me, that wasn't how I ever pictured it. And you don't typically see that on TV. So, but I looked at him and I said, you know what? I don't want to marry you. I don't want to get married. I've never actually been one of those people that wants to be married. I think when I was 19 and stupid, I was looking to get married to the guy I was seeing. He proposed and we were talking about getting married, and I was 19 and really, really dumb. And I think that's the only time I've ever really seriously considered marriage. If you can consider being 19 old enough to seriously consider marriage, I guess, which I don't now looking back. And in fact, looking back at it, I'm not entirely certain what the hell was wrong with my parents either, because they were actually really supportive of it. And I'm not entirely certain why, though I'm thinking now that they were doing the parenting thing and they knew in the back of their minds that it wasn't going to ever happen, but they were just letting it kind of play out. Because I think back now and I don't know why my father would ever let me marry the dude I was dating. I think he just was wiser than me. Though if he ever asks, I'll deny that I said that. But that's really the only time I ever seriously had thought of marriage. I don't, now that I'm older and wiser, hopefully, it's just something that I don't want to do. I don't ever want to be married. You know, not that I won't ever commit to somebody and be in a committed long-term relationship. I have no problem staying with somebody forever if I love them, but I just don't want to walk down the aisle. It's not something I want to do. I don't want to do the dress. I don't want to do the flowers. I don't even want to go to the Justice of the Peace. I don't want or need a piece of paper telling me that I'm married to somebody. It's just, I guess, not something that I really feel I want. So anyway, didn't marry my boys' father, thankfully. We sort of, we didn't even really co-parent, you know, now that I think about it. It was, in all honesty, he was sort of a glorified babysitter, really, because the boys were with me when I wasn't working, and when I was working, he watched them. So he took care of them while I was working. After my shift, I went and picked them up and took them home. So it was like having a babysitter. That's really all he was, in all honesty. I didn't consult with him on doctor's appointments. I didn't consult with him on, you know, things that went on with the kids, because he really didn't seem to care. It wasn't something that was important to him. Which should have been another, you know, red flag for me. But again, very young, very stupid, very naive. And I honestly thought that these children would be something that would kind of make him get his life together. Because he was a really horrible choice for a boyfriend, for a father, for, I mean, he wasn't really, not that I chose for him to be a father, but, you know, if you had a choice, he wasn't somebody who I would have chosen to be the father of my children. You know, he didn't have a job. He lived with his brother. He mooched off of all of his friends. He, you know, I mean, it's just, in all honesty, looking back now, knowing what I know now and the person that I am now, looking back at him, it was just like, I mean, this man had red flags popping up everywhere. Drinks too much, bing, red flag. You know, does drugs occasionally, bing, red flag. Doesn't have a job, bing, lives with his brother, bing, never has any money, bing. You know, so it's, he was definitely not a great boyfriend, father material at all. But I was, again, young and stupid and thought, well, maybe now that these kids are here, this will make him straighten out. I didn't have the boys to do that. In fact, when we sat down and had that conversation and he said he would marry me, I told him, you know, I don't want to marry you. I don't want to marry you. I don't want to get married. I pretty much kind of gave him the lay of the land at that point. I said, look, you know, I'm going to have these babies. I'm going to have them. I'm going to keep them. I'm not giving them up. And I'm not having an abortion. And I'm going to raise these kids. And you can either participate or not. It's up to you. I'm giving you that option right now. You can walk away and have nothing to do with them. But if you walk, you walk. You're done. You're gone. You don't get to half-ass being a dad. You don't get to show up whenever you feel like it. You don't get to not pay child support, but play with the kids like they're fun little toys and then give them back when it's time to be responsible. That's not, you know, what I want. So if you're going to be a dad, be a dad. Step up. Do what you need to do. Or you can walk. Those are your choices. And if you walk, I won't ask anything from you. I won't ask child support. I won't ask for anything. And he said that he would step up and he would be a dad. But again, like I said, you know, looking back at it, knowing what I know now, he really was just like having a babysitter. That's really all he was. So at that point, I didn't really consider myself a single mom. But when my boys were 5 months old, my son was taken to the hospital. And it's a very long story that has a lot of details into it that I'm not going to get into. But I was working and I got a call saying that my son was being taken to the hospital because he had stopped breathing or he was having trouble breathing or something. And when I got there, my son was having uncontrollable seizures and they didn't know why. And after a lot of testing and things, they actually determined that my son had been shaken. And he was very likely not going to make it through the night. They flight for life him to Children's Hospital. And when he got there, he crashed and had to be resuscitated. And I was told that if he survived the night, which he would very likely not survive, but if he did, that he would be in a vegetative state for the rest of his life and would never leave the hospital. Those were pretty much his odds. That's how his life was going to be. He was going to be in a hospital. Those were just his odds. And when this happened, social services took my other son, his brother, because they didn't know who had injured my son. And until they could determine who had done what, when they determined who had shook him, then they would decide, you know, what to do moving forward. So not only was one of my children in the hospital fighting for his life, but they also took my other son from me until they could figure out what happened. After several months, it was determined that my boys' father was the one who was responsible for what happened. And that ended up bringing up a lot of court cases, and I still had to fight with social services. And the biggest reason that I had to fight with social services was not because they felt I was a danger to my children, but because I was a single mom. I had to prove to social services that I could take care of twin boys with special needs on my own. My son defied all odds and came out of the hospital with permanent brain damage. But if you were to see him today, you would have no idea that there was anything wrong with him. He's my walking, talking miracle. He was never supposed to leave the hospital. And then I was told he would probably never walk. And then I was told it's possible he wouldn't talk, that he would have a hard time functioning. He's basically proven the doctors wrong at every single turn in his life. He does have developmental delays. He is a special needs child. And it's just, we take it as it comes. He could get to the age of 16 developmentally and never go any further than that. Currently, he's 14 years old, but developmentally and emotionally, he's closer to 8. He's actually closer to the same mentality of my daughter, which is a very hard dynamic in our house. I have a 14-year-old son who is cognizant of the fact that he's 14. He's cognizant of the fact that he's the older brother, but emotionally, he still behaves like his sister. And that's very difficult because his sister shouldn't know more than he knows because he's 14 in his mind. His sister shouldn't be able to do things that he can't do because he's 14 and he's older. So it's definitely a hard dynamic in our house sometimes. His brother, Connor, my other son, was also found to have injuries, though his did not hospitalize him. But they do cause him delays. He has a lot of issues with organization and attention and a lot of different problems. But so needless to say, the boys' father has not seen them since they were 6 months old. And wouldn't know them if he passed them on the street, sadly. So that's how I became a single parent of my boys. And that story, like I said, there's a lot of other details and things that went on in that and other things that I'll do podcasts about. There was, you know, dealing with social services and a lot of the problems that came along with that, being on government assistance and just a lot of the roller coasters that came along with that. But again, it was like I was being punished because I was going to be a single mom. That's pretty much what it felt like. There was no worry that I was a danger to my children, didn't have a drug problem, didn't have a drinking problem, didn't have an anger management problem, didn't hurt my children, was not a danger to them in any fashion. Just, can you take care of them on your own? That was pretty much the only thing that kept that social services case going for me. And so it was very difficult. So that was my beginning dealings with that feeling that I was going to have to struggle forever as a single mom. And that's what I felt my life was going to be, was just a constant struggle. I moved a couple of times from one move from Colorado to Virginia because I thought, well, maybe a fresh start. Maybe that will be what I need. A fresh start in a new place. I've got family out in Virginia, and maybe that will help me. And I spent 2 years in Virginia and realized that it wasn't for me. I was still struggling because it's kind of, you know, that old adage, no matter where you go, there you are. It's, you know, I was still facing and dealing with the same mental problems that I had, you know, the blocks of, I can't do this, this is a struggle. You know, I was basically kind of getting in my own way the entire time. But because of that feeling like, no matter how hard I try, I'm always going to get beat down because I'm a single mom, I'm always going to have these problems. But also because as much as I love Virginia and I love my family out there, Colorado just seems to feel like it's always going to be my home. This is where I want to be. So I moved back to Virginia after 2 years. And when I moved back, that was when I met my daughter's dad. And it's one of those things that I honestly don't think that he and I would have met in any other fashion. I stayed single the entire time. I did not get in a relationship. I was not involved with anybody. I didn't date. I spent a really long period of my life just being single. And I was okay with that, you know, and had no problem with it. I had two children to take care of. I had a special needs son. I didn't have the time or energy, to be honest, to date anybody. So when I moved back to Colorado, the only reason I met my daughter's dad was because he lived across the street. That was the only reason. Otherwise, I would have stayed single. My daughter would have never been born. And it just wouldn't have happened because I don't really go out. I don't do much. I really, it's kind of sad, actually. I have no social life. But in all honesty, I'm actually kind of okay with that. I don't mind it so much, only because I do. I have other priorities. So it's not a priority for me to date right now. It's not a priority for me to be in a relationship. And it wasn't then. But I met him and we hung out because he was across the street. He was friends with my friends that I was staying with at the time. And it just kind of one thing led to another. And at the time, I thought he had a girlfriend. Though when I talked to him about her, he said she wasn't his girlfriend. However, she thought she was his girlfriend. So it was it was another one of those circumstances where she thought they had a relationship, but he didn't, supposedly. So when he and I, you know, connected and would go out and hang out and whatever happened, I was told that he didn't have a girlfriend. He wasn't involved with anybody. And then somewhere in there, apparently they had a discussion where he finally said, okay, you are my girlfriend. And they did have a relationship. And he talked to her about our relationship and what such as it was. And he promised he wouldn't see me anymore, that nothing would happen, that we were done. But didn't really live up to that promise, all the while still kind of telling me that she wasn't really his girlfriend. Anyway, in that whole process, that's when I got pregnant. And needless to say, they ended up splitting up and I had my daughter, and he and I mean, I think we tried to make a go of a relationship, but it just never really seemed to really happen. It was really always more work than it should have been. It was very difficult. And, you know, this guy, I mean, I never intended on having my daughter. She was definitely a surprise. Again, thinking that we were being careful, but clearly not careful enough. And I think at that point is when I really decided that I needed to be on like multiple different types of birth control or something, because no matter what happened, it just didn't seem to be stopping the whole me getting pregnant thing. And I think that we had talked and we tried to figure out, you know, why it wasn't working and how to make it work, or at least I did. Again, I really have horrifying taste in men. Not that he's a bad person. He's actually a really good individual at heart, but he does have a drinking problem. And when he and I were together, I ended up drinking more, I think simply because I felt like I needed to be around him. So it was one of those circumstances where being with him, I was trying to bring out the best in him, and at the same time, he was bringing out the worst in me. And it just was not a healthy relationship. I mean, at the time, I didn't want to admit it. I don't think any of us ever do, but hindsight, it definitely was not healthy. It wasn't a good relationship. It wasn't going to be something that worked out well, no matter how hard I tried. And so our relationship ended shortly after our daughter was a little after she was one. She was a little older than one when we split up. And so that's how I ended up with three babies, still being single. And I've been a single ever since, and she's going to be 8 here in the next few months. So I've been single ever since he and I split, because again, it's just, I really just don't have the energy in me to try and make something work. And right now I think that it feels like a relationship would be just too much work for me right now. And I have too much other things going on. So, you know, so in the beginning, like I had said, I've kind of got multiple different facets of being a single mom kind of covered. So I've done the whole single mom with a deadbeat dad or a non-existent father. I've done that. And I have done the single mom going through social services. I've done the single mom on government assistance. I've done the single mom in a relationship with a new person. And I've done the single mom who now has to learn how to co-parent, because I've never, up until my daughter was born, had to co-parent with anybody. I didn't have to share time. I didn't have to share responsibility. I didn't, you know, I was the be-all, end-all, say when it came to my boys. So now with my daughter, I had to learn how to behave in a co-parenting relationship. I wasn't used to consulting with somebody else when scheduling doctor's appointments, or talking to somebody else before getting my children's haircut. I wasn't used to having to figure out a visitation schedule or a parenting schedule or whatever it was. I had never done any of that before. So that was a whole new experience for me as well. So there's going to be in the Single Mom podcast, Single Mom Success podcast, there's going to be a lot of instances of those experiences. There's going to be a lot of different tips and tricks and things to help with various different elements, helping with mindsets, how to save money, budgeting, dealing with exes who are, for lack of a better word, assholes. You know, dealing with the co-parenting issues and struggles, and, you know, when new relationships come into the mix and you have to deal with another person, you know, there's been a lot of different things that have come up that I've been dealing with. And I think that's one of the reasons why I decided to start the Single Mom Success School and the Single Mom blog and these podcasts, because I have a lot of experiences that I've gone through that had I known then what I know now, would not have been as much of a struggle. And I really want to share that with other single moms, because a lot of the process has been the mind shift that has to happen, the shift in your perspective and the way that you view things and the way that you take in things, and you know, the difference between leading a positive life and always dwelling in the negative experiences, and just all of the things that can come about that can really change the way your life is experienced, and the way that the things that happen to you, how you deal with those things, and how you deal with the ups and the downs and the goods and the bads, so that you don't sit there and constantly feel like you are destined to struggle. Because that's how I felt for a very, very long time, that because I was a single mom, simply because I was a single mom, that I was destined to just have to be in this struggle forever. And that's really not how it has to be. It's not the dynamic. It may be the stereotype, but it doesn't have to be the way that it is. There's avenues, and there's things that you can do, and steps that you can take, and opportunities that you can seize. And mostly it's all about the mind shift. It really, really is. So, you know, those are going to be some of the upcoming podcasts and blog articles and things. So I really, really encourage you to keep an eye out and come back every week for new content. The blogs are going to come out every weekday. There's going to be a new blog topic, and every Monday is going to be the podcast Monday. They may be a little bit longer than this. They may be a little bit shorter. It depends on the topic of the day, but keep an eye out for those, because they will come out every single week. And I'm really glad that you are here and that you've joined me, and that you're coming along on this journey with me. So I hope that this has been informative, that you've learned a little bit about me, probably more than you really needed to know. But I really wanted to make sure that you really understood that there were so many different experiences that I've gone through that have really kind of shaped where I'm at today. And I'm by no means done growing, and I'm going to keep growing and keep learning and keep experiencing new things, because this ride called parenthood that we're on, there is no map, there is no roadmap, there is no book, there is no instructional video out there that can prepare you fully for everything that you're going to go through. And to be doing it by yourself presents a whole other set of challenges. It doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be harder, but it's definitely different. Being a parent itself is hard. Whether you're a single parent or a two-parent household, it's hard. It's work. And doing it by yourself just means you have a different set of experiences and a different set of circumstances, but it doesn't mean that it has to be harder. And that's really what this whole thing is about. So I am so glad that you joined me, and I look forward to speaking with you again. Please, please make sure that you subscribe. I hope this was helpful, or at least informative. This one wasn't really a helpful topic, but informative. But please subscribe, because there will be other podcasts moving forward that will be informative and helpful and inspiring and motivating. And I really, really hope to have you join me for those as well. Thanks so much, and I look forward to talking to you next Monday.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.